Welcome to the Golden Mike Podcast, where personal growth simply isn't enough. I'm your host, Mark Cordone, a positive psychology coach, a do-gooder from the island of misfit toys who founded the Joy Revolution. Each week, I'll rap with an extraordinary guest doing extraordinary things through their own revolutionary work to talk about the ups, downs, and all arounds of life. It's my mission to provoke and empower you through increased joy and inspire you to spark your own revolution to change history for the better. Welcome to the most serious happiness podcast in this multiverse. Welcome to the Golden Mike Podcast.
Now, I do want to talk about your book, Sell from Love, Love Yourself, Love Your Client, Love Your Author. Your offer. I keep saying author, but it's offer, guys.
We can love the offer, so too.
This baby went to number one. Yeah. And then it was a hot new release, you know. So here you were writing things and, you know, universe is for us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it is. And you hit number one. Now, I think, you know, I don't necessarily see you as the type of person who's, you know, I guess you said it, that your old school way was kind of competitive, but what does this new self, this person who's writing from love about selling from love, like what happened to you when you hit number one, or what were you thinking about when you hit number one?
So before any of that happened, I didn't think any of that could possibly happen. I thought the way this book would and will continue to grow will be by drip, by breadcrumbs, literally breadcrumbs. And maybe in 5 years or 10 years, it will have the audience to help sustain the body of work that it's here to do, what it's here to serve, and how it's here to help us live, lead, and sell. So I end up, my nephew actually messaged me and said, "You hit number one." Like that night, the weekend when we launched, and it's like, what? And he sent me a screenshot and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it was not even in my paradigm that that would happen. But it's very interesting what happens, Mark. I had no expectations. So in my book, I teach this term called fudge. Fudge is what holds us back from living, selling, leading our best life. Fudge stands for fear, uncertainty, doubt, guilt, and expectations. So just imagine when we eat too much fudge, how do we feel? Bloated, over, like heavy, burdened. So when we have too much fear, uncertainty, doubt, guilt, expectations, stops us in our tracks. So what happened? So fascinating. Like I feel like, I just feel like my own experiment. So hit number one, excited, so happy, and then I get stricken with fudge because I got hit with the E, the expectations. Now all of a sudden, Mark, oh my God, I didn't expect this to happen. So how am I going to keep it at number one? How do I hold that position? So all that crap that I lived with, you know, for 20 plus years of my career, but also when I had that dark night of the soul moment that drove me there 18 years ago, it all percolated back up again. Because this stuff never really goes away. Things that happen to us today or in our future trigger these past moments. So all of a sudden, this expectations and performing and be number one and get to number one, it got triggered again. And it was just fascinating just watching myself get wrapped up in, where's it today? Ranking. Where's it today? Ranking. It was whole, I was, you know, and I would tell my husband, like, I can see myself doing it. I could, and eventually, you know, over a few days, just working through my practices of how to get off of the fudge train, stop eating that fudge, I managed to come back up again. And now, you know, there's that non-attachment. Like, so what we want to practice when we're selling anything, even when we're living, is I send out my work. I make offers, I let people know what I do, I create moments for invitations, but I am not attached to whether or not Mark is going to like it, whether or not Mark is going to want it, but just show up with that authentic integrity and eventually coming back to that place. And now it's all, life is all good. None of that stress, no stress, no fudge stress.
I love it. No fudge stress. Well, I am interested and I can't wait to read it. That's my take on it. You know, it's really funny because I have something similar. I have a model of growth and a model of anti-growth, I guess I'll call it, right? And it's broken up into two parts, functioning and then sort of how happy you are, right? And so there's this thing called I call it the Neil Armstrong effect, right? Because you have this incredible moment, like going to the moon or selling out or selling, being ranked. And then you have this other thing that happens where as a result of that incredible moment, your productivity starts to go down. Like you start feeling like the heebie-jeebies. So it was just like Neil Armstrong, who had gone up to the moon. He has this great thing. He comes back to Earth. He's like, okay, so now what am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
And so one of the things that comes up there is, yeah. And so one of the things that come up there is imposter syndrome, right? A person's like, whoa, how am I going to stay up at top? How am I going to top this going to the moon piece? How am I going to top this? And they just kind of go into this, like, I wouldn't call it depression, but it's just like, maybe I got lucky. Or maybe I did. Oh my gosh, how do I keep this? So you got out of this is what I'm hearing from changing your mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Because then I think exactly. Because I think what happens is when we hit the top of anything, you just look at even box office hit movies. You know, other than, you know, I'm going to say Avengers excluded, but when the next one comes out, the sequel never is good as the initial book, movie. I'm going to say, okay, Avengers and Harry Potter excluded, but there's this notion of, so what
well,
we
Terminator
do is,
for me is excluded. Okay.
There you go. Right. So it's like all of a sudden what we're trying to do is we're trying to live up to the expectations of that once lived moment versus trying to create another new moment. And so because I'm trying to live up to who I was in that moment, that hit number one or made that movie or wrote that book or created or delivered that standing ovation speech, you're trying to live up to that expectation. You're actually shorting the potential and possibility of creating a new version of you. And that's where we stump ourselves. So even the next book that I write, I don't know. You know, we just kind of go with what the newness of what is this opening up versus the expectations it has to do as well as what we did yesterday. That's the first, it'll
gotcha.
You know, constrict all of our potential.
So you're already ready for your next book. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a file where I write notes as to what it's going to be. So I'm already collecting. So 2022, I'm starting to write the next book.
Okay, so I'll be writing as well, 2022. I'm actually writing my one-man show, so this should be a lot of fun. But isn't that funny? We go through something and we go through something and we've sort of hated it. We've begrudgingly written, and then it's over. And the next thing you know is, I'm going to do a second one.
I know. It's like, I'm going to go do that again.
That's how you know you're pushed.
Exactly. But you know, part of it isn't part of what makes it feel so good is because it was so hard, right? It feels so good to produce a body of work, whether it was a book, whether it was you're trained to do a marathon, whether it is you're doing your one man show.
Yeah.
The pain and the struggle and the learning and the growth we experience in that year or 5 years of getting there is actually what makes the moment so good that we want to go back and do it again.
Yep. I love that because a lot of people, I would say it's lessening, but a lot of people have put so much on outcomes. And then you also hear people talking about the journey, the journey, the journey. But the thing is that I feel is that it totally is the journey. It's totally being able to sort of look at this mountain and be like, there's no way I can get up this. And suddenly you're at the top of it. And it's like, I did that. And there's something great about being able to do, I did that, dap your chest, because that's something people can't take away from you. There's nothing anyone can take away from you. And that given piece that you're getting better and better in doing it is enough to like change the world for individuals. Yeah. So that's why I love that you're in self-development, because self-development is where it's at in terms of people can tell you what not to do, but that doesn't mean that you can't do it still. I don't know if I said the right thing there.
That's right. That's right. Because when you believe in yourself that you have the possibility and the potential to do it, it doesn't matter what other people say, you're going to go after it. One of the things I learned doing the research for Self from Love, and this is, I'm going to say, a place that many of us need to continue to work on is we're so focused on the destination that we don't value the journey, right? Because we're so focused on the destiny. I need to get this, get there, achieve that, have this, that we don't value the journey. Yep. But then what happens when we get to the destination, we don't actually even value the destination because we're off going off and making the next thing. And so in my research, what I learned was that 81% of people do not stop to celebrate a win, a compliment, or an achievement that they've achieved. And we're just off to the next thing. And so imagine what it would be like, Mark, if all of us spent more time standing at the top of the mountain, pounding our chest a little bit and saying, I did that. I made that. I can't believe I'm here, reflecting on the journey and saying, holy wow, that was a lot of work. I can't believe I persevered through that. Yeah. It's just 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 weeks, whatever it is, just to relish in it. How that would fuel us for the next mountain we decide to climb, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's so important.
Who are completely non-woo. Yeah. So for people who are like non-woo, you could look at it like this. There's a part of the brain called the RAS, and it opens your field to observing things more, right? So it's kind of like it removes blinders from you. And the thing is that if you just stay there and sort of go to the next thing without savoring or celebrating, the RAS stays like that. But if you get to the top and you celebrate a little bit, you can kind of look through the things that held you back and just continue to say, I did this. So that's a neuroscience type of view with sort of what's going on if you think that this is just a woo-woo type of thing. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Finca, but like I had to cut you off there. But like, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think there's two things going on, especially when we look at brain science. Our brain is wired with negativity bias. It is always looking at what's wrong, what's broken, what needs to be fixed, right? Yep. What we're actually doing when we stop for a moment at the top of the mountain or even one step higher than what we were yesterday, or even when we step back and we have a trip up and we pick ourselves up again and we celebrate the pickup, is we are actually retraining our brain with positivity bias, because it is the old brain and the default brain is always looking at what's wrong. What we need to start doing consciously is take the new brain and program it to say what's working, what went well, what am I celebrating, so that the old brain doesn't hold us back when we want to take that next leap, make that next jump, make that next big decision. And you're actually setting yourself up for the next success because you're celebrating today.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I want to talk to you about this. So you've had the number one book. You've been working, you're working with Sally, you've got this amazing business. So I guess maybe outside of the business and the book, what things are you either savoring right now, or like you're in the middle of a journey that's just like you need to remind yourself that, you know, like that you're doing this on your own, you're doing it. Like, is there something that is going through your head right now or you're experiencing right now?
So part of how I live also determines part of my authentic integrity was also living a very aligned lifestyle. So 5 years ago, we sold our city life. So we were born and bred city folk and we moved to the country and we live on 85 acres. And so for me, what's always important is getting outside, living on my farm. You know, what's top of mind right now is, you know, this morning I was talking about, we've got to unpack the bees are insulated from our cold winter here. We've got to take off that insulation and I got to feed them some sugar. And so those kinds of, I'll say, passion projects. So things that are outside of my work, meaning outside of the things that I teach from selling to branding and marketing, I'm always fueling myself with creative projects like beekeeping, lavender essential oil making. This winter, first time ever, we made maple syrup. So we tapped our own trees. We boiled, you know, 1,000 liters of sap and got only 25 liters of maple syrup, right? So these kinds of projects. So I would say having a hobby lifestyle is so important, because the things that I learn about how bees work together and communicate, the process of making essential oil, the patience and perseverance and the commitment and discipline on going out, you know, in 2 feet of snow, collecting bare, you know, gallons of sap to make maple syrup, all those things help me with my work life. So I had to, I'll be a self-proclaimed person who is addicted to her work. Like I can get very easily hooked on working too much. I love it. I love it. So I had to consciously create structures in my life that would force me to not work, meaning got bees, we have horses, grow lavender, we have our own. So the farm lifestyle helps me get outside because I have other things I have to take care of, other animals, other plants that I have to take care of, which makes me get off my computer, off with my clients so I can go do those things, which in turn make me a better leader, coach, and mentor for my clients because I'm not working 24/7.
It makes sense. It makes sense. You know, I love the from love piece that you're talking about in your book is, how are you kind of living with love now? You know, we haven't heard much from, you know, where your siblings are at now or where your parents are at now or those sort of things. So what about living with love?
Hey, it's Mark. I hope you're digging the Golden Mike podcast. If you have or are just starting your own revolution fueled by joy, there's a site I created for you. If you, like me, believe that personal growth is simply not enough, if you, like me, are committed to changing history for the better in both micro and macro ways, check out joyrevolution.com. In there, you'll find an archive of our over 200 Golden Mike Live Facebook shows and, of course, our podcast that you're currently listening to. Check out the blogs highlighting how positive psychology and joy theory apply to your everyday life. There's even some cool clips from our Joy Revolution course geared towards influencers, speakers, writers, and change agents. It's all there. Go to joyrevolution.com. That's joyrevolution.com. Let's get back to the episode.
So part of my brilliant difference, so what I teach in what your brilliant difference is, it's who you are, but it's all the impact that you make. So your brilliance is the gift you bring and the difference is the impact that it has on others. Mm-hmm. And so my brilliant difference is transformational love. And so what I, mm-hmm. how I show up in my day, I have it written on my whiteboard. I have, you know, that Corinthians 13-4 verse in front of me always, you know, reminding me that love is patient, love is kind, and love never fails. Those are just some ways in which I remind myself of my purpose. I'm here to bring transformational love. Now that transformational love shows up, whether I'm here, you and I talking about the topic, you know, just like this, whether it's in an engagement with my husband and my daughter or my mom right now, you know, today, she's actually probably another couple hours she has. She's doing chemo number 4 out of 6. She got diagnosed right before Christmas with cancer. And so I know my purpose is just to love. And if I can bring the power and the wisdom of love in all that I do, whether it's in a phone call, whether it's in a coaching call, whether it's in a prayer right before we have dinner, I know my job is done. And so that's my compass and the universe is continually offering me opportunities to demonstrate it. And I hope, my hope is that I do the best that I can every day. And
right on. And much love to your mom. Thank you. Are you a lot like your mom?
I didn't realize it until she got cancer. It's interesting.
Growing up.
Yeah, because it was interesting. I saw her, you know, with our relationships that are closest to us, like our partners, our parents, our siblings, you only see certain sides of them because of how your, what your relationship was like with them. But as soon as she got cancer, I saw her strength. I saw her determination. I saw her positivity and willingness. And I'm like, oh, that's where I get it. That's where it comes from. And then I started recognizing and reflecting on her entire life, how when she was, you know, a teenager, she picked up, left a country that she knew the language and every family and friends, and moved here by herself to Canada, didn't speak a word of English, and started over. And I'm like, that was bold, courageous, and wow. And so now looking at her from this perspective, and I think cancer reminded me of how short and temporal our life experience is. And so then we look at the people around us, and you start valuing them in a different way than you did in the past.
Finca?
Yes. Finca? I'm here. You keep pausing on me. I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
I think I lost you there for like, yeah. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm.
I can hear you.
Yes. Can you hear me? Okay, great.
Yes,
great.
I can hear you.
We missed the last part. So Joe Fern. Okay. Could you talk a little bit more about that? How you're seeing this in your mom, sort of you're seeing you and your mom.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I think when someone is diagnosed with something like cancer, all of a sudden you start seeing them in a different light because you see how temporary and how short life really is. And so the gift of it was that you kind of get off the hamster wheel that you think that everyone's always going to be here, and you start really reflecting on who that person is and what they mean to you. And you value every moment you have with that person, not just with that person, but with everybody else around you, because, you know, cancer reminded me of how short and temporal life really is.
Yeah, we've got some folks in this house right now that are going through the same thing in terms of chemo. So lots of love for you, your mom, and everybody that's on that journey right now.
Right back at you.
So right back. It's game recognized game. That's what's going on. So I want to talk about your brilliant difference. I want to talk about Fascinate. How you even got in touch with Sally Hogshead. You know, I think about that a lot, you and Sally. And also, like, why is this such a, I would almost say a radical thing still? I mean, I learned about what y'all do about 3 months ago, but why is sort of your brilliant difference and sort of the Fascinate stuff? I mean, I don't know about you, but I still think that that stuff is a little bit radical now. And I love the fact that it is.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that it is too. I think, you know, the How to Fascinate tool that Sally Hogshead created is such a powerful way to help people see who they are and the value that they bring to the table. And, you know, it's based on how the world sees you versus how you see yourself. So it's not based on our psychology, but rather our communication patterns. So every day when we communicate, we're sending out certain signals, and the test measures, you know, how people will respond to you in the best way as it was represented through those communication patterns. And so when I took the test many moons ago, it was a game changer for me. Again, it was a couple years after that dark night of the soul moment, just kind of another layer of part of my journey of how do I get closer to being the authentic version of me. Sally's test, How to Fascinate, was a game changer because it's like, oh yeah, this is who I am. This is the gift I bring. This is the mindset I add value with. And so from there, it helped me create the Your Brilliant Difference program, because I really wanted people to take the insights that they have from a tool like Fascinate and apply them to their work, to their leadership, and to their businesses in a way that, now that you know this about yourself, how are you going to change the world, add value, make a difference, and serve your clients in a way that, you know, you now can encapsulate it in Your Brilliant Difference. And so that's the inspiration point for me for the work that I continue to get to do as a result of that simple 3-minute test.
Right. Amazing. So I don't know if you can eyeball people. And the last time I was at the Fascinate training session, I think my hair was bright pink or black or red or something like that. So given the fact that we haven't talked in a while, what would be, just eyeballing it, what would be my Fascinate score, or not the score, you know what it's called, the fascinate thing, the anthem maybe, and what would be my like brilliant difference if you just had to eyeball it?
So I would say, yeah. So if I would say your brilliant difference, if I just look at it's the joy revolution. Like it's, you are joy and your impact and your difference is revolutionary. Right. And so you are someone who is constantly looking to bring more happiness, even just what you talked about earlier, functioning and happiness. Like it's about how do you bring more joy? How do you bring more happiness, more fulfillment through lifting people up? Even your background in positive psychology, it's all about lifting people up and using that to revolutionize how we work, how we live, how we run our businesses. And so I would say your brilliant difference is joy revolution.
I love it. I love it. Now, I just want to see if we could show people where you could go from those sort of things. It's not only... it's not only a sort of it's not only an anthem, it's not only a couple adjectives and an adverb. How could your brilliant difference, or how could a fascinate score work for a person like me? You know, if I'm coming in and I'm like, how do I show up maybe better in my job? How can I draw in people to my speeches? Like, you know, what's the number one thing that they usually come to you for, Finca?
So I'd say like a part of this work is the number one thing that is standing in the way of people being more of who they are is distraction. Either we're too busy looking at what everybody else is, what everyone else is doing, or we're listening to what other people are telling us to do. We don't have our own inner guide and inner compass. So Mark, for you, when you know it's joy revolution, for me, when I know it's transformational love, that is the guidepost. That is the anchor. I put that in the ground and now everything I do revolves around transformational love. All of a sudden, I look at my book, I look at my business and I say, what can I do to bring more transformational love? Heck, let me teach people how to sell from love, create a book, create a community, create a course. And that's how it works. For you, the same thing, joy revolution. What do you want to build? Now that you have these two words that encapsulate the value you bring and the impact that you deliver, all of a sudden, it becomes where you start moving from. Apple, theirs was think different. Everything they did, who they were, the value they delivered, the impact and result, but also who we got to be because we associated ourselves with an Apple product is think different. And so it becomes your North Star. And then when you don't get distracted, or if you do get distracted, you have home base. You go back to this. Oh, this is what I'm here to do. Okay, now what do I do next knowing this? And so it becomes the trajectory of where your life, your career, and your business can start taking off from because you have a North Star, you have the gravitational pull to come back to this place. And the more you use it, the more you recall it, the more you start your day with it, the gravitational pull becomes stronger. So when you're on social media, you're on Instagram and you're looking at what everybody else is doing, you're like, that's okay. That's their brilliant difference. I don't need to do that. I got to go back to mine and focus on me and get out there and do my work and serve the clients I'm meant to work with. And that's what it can do for you.
That makes so much sense because a couple of things that I've thought about and are actually written down that you've been saying is when you start with that differential piece that makes you completely different from everybody else. And that's what I love about this is there's not a lot of competition. It's like, if I sit down in the pocket and just do what I do best, I'm doing what I do best and other people do what they do best. And suddenly there's not a lot of competition. It's just people living in their brilliant differentiation. And then also what I'm seeing is that authenticity is something everyone needs to practice. It's not just the authenticity of people. It's like authenticity, being in that brilliant differentiation would create authenticity. And then the key to getting clients would also be love, but purpose. And purpose is the fuel that keeps you moving. And like, it's the whole thing that you wrote. it's the whole writing that you gave me. I absolutely love it. one of the things I'd love to hear is with either you or a client that's come in, would you share like the sort of the transformation that came as a result of realizing someone's brilliant differentiation or brilliant difference?
So it takes form in different ways. So for example, a client that I've recently worked with this year, we took her through the Brilliant Difference program and really trying to figure out who she is, who her ideal clients are, what is it that she's here to serve them with, but also to revolve them completely around her Brilliant Difference. And so we do we actually craft three things. We give them a signature, which is their Brilliant Difference signature, those 2 to 3 words that describe what makes them brilliant and the impact they have. We give them a short statement so that they have kind of their one-liner. I help these people with these kinds of problems or goals, and I give them these kinds of results, and her story. And so all of a sudden, what it allowed her to do was look at her website, redesign her website so that way she had the right copy on her homepage, the right copy on her about page, the right testimonials that she was looking for, and all of a sudden, the right clients were being attracted to her. She wanted to work with clients in a particular industry, and literally almost, I'm going to say overnight, her calendar and her pipeline started filling up because she got clear on who she was, the value she brought. And she goes like focused. That's all she wanted to do with clients versus being scattered and serving different clients and different solutions. She got focused and more efficient and clearer. And she knows exactly who she needs to come back to. You know, another client, what it also helps people do is it gives you that extra boost of confidence that you might need to put yourself out there. So another client that I was working with last year, she really wanted to put herself out there on social media. She didn't figure out she's going to put herself on all the social media channels. She just went like deep and hard on LinkedIn. As a result, she owned her Brilliant Difference. Mm-hmm. She showed up, added value. She got invited to present. It was almost like, you know, the Sharks. Oh, what's that show? When you present your entrepreneurial idea.
Shark Tank.
Shark's Table. Shark Tank. Shark Table. We call it Dragon's Den here in Canada. But I know the Shark Tank. That was, yeah. So it was similar to that. But in her state, she was one of the contenders. She had the statewide newspaper do an article and feature on her and her business. She won a corporate contract as a result of that Shark Tank opportunity. All of that because she finally just declared, I'm going to own who I am, show up authentically, and just put myself out there. So again, either you're going to get clarity and figure out all the words that you need to describe yourself and put that on your website so you can attract those clients, or it's going to give you that confidence you need to hit publish and play to get yourself out there on whether it's a social media channel or another way of creating offers to get your work out into the world. So there's, you know, different ways of how it impacts people. But once you know who you are and the purpose of why you're here, all of a sudden that natural, it just gives you a whole bunch of clarity. Clarity is what you need to move forward with action. And that gives you the confidence to keep going.
Yeah, I really, really love that. Not only as a person who loves seeing things like Joy Revolution, but more so the fact that so many people must think that they have to do it this way, or there's an archetype. I think when I was working in a university, I was working with health, and they wanted me to be that condom guy, right? But the thing was I had a kid on the way. I was unmarried, and I actually thought that it was going to be I actually thought it would be deleterious to my story to say that. But the thing was I went out and I said it one day, and I was like, you know what? Like, it's what's going to happen. It's what's happening with me. If you guys want to wear a condom, you can. You're not like, you're 18 years old, so I know you can find that on YouTube. But the fact of the matter is I got a kid on the way, and I'm stoked, and it was a surprise. And the next thing I know, people were kind of gravitating towards that story versus me putting on the down low and just not saying anything. I had no idea that just being authentic could probably add that edge that needed to happen instead of being a moral authority. So, I mean, it's things like your brilliant difference and fascinate that has really helped me with that. You know, so yes, I had a baby on the way. All right, people. So I know you've stayed after with us, Finca. I know you've stayed after, and I don't know if you could tell, but Joe Fern, our producer, is right there. He's behind the mirror looking at me, and he's pushing the red button to say, get on with the game. So are you willing to play a game with us to end this off?
Sure. Let's do it. And you're making me a little nervous.
Awesome.
For sure.
Awesome. Oh, well, it's nothing to be nervous about because no one has passed this test. And Joe Fern is like making a big thing of this right there. Joe Fern, go easy on us today, right? Okay, so he's sending me the questions that he wants me to ask you right now, looking at the iPad or the notepad that he wanted me to ask it. Okay, so I just want you, or we just want you to fill in the words. Finish this out, okay? It's not just a word. It could be sentences or paragraphs, right? Oh, so you got a piece of pen too. Oh, a pen too. Okay. So joy tastes like
sugar.
It tastes like sugar. Yes, he gives you a point. It tastes like sugar. Joe Fern gave the thumbs up. Okay, second one. Joy smells like.
Say peanut butter. Where that came from.
Peter, yes, he's jumping up and down. Oh wait, he wants me to. Okay, do you want it creamy or with the peanuts inside?
Crunchy,
the chunky peanuts.
Crunchy.
Oh, he's holding a Jif crunchy right now. Okay, two for two. My gosh, you've already gone further than most of our guests. Joy sounds like.
A hummingbird, like a bird, like a hummingbird flapping its wings.
A hummingbird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's looking up on Google right now.
It has a distinct
sound.
Yes,
he's hitting the button.
It has a distinct sound because we have them come up in the spring on our front porch. If I'm sitting working on the porch, you just hear them and then you look at them and you're like, oh, it's so beautiful. Like it's just such a beautiful sight to see. A hummingbird getting nectar from a flower. But you have to hear them to actually see them.
Oh, he's at the point he almost wants to give bonus points to you. But we'll see. We'll see if she can make the rest of this. You've got two to go, Finca. No pressure. Joy looks like...
I'm just looking outside nature. Looks natural, nature.
Nature. Oh, I don't know if we, seriously, Joe Fern. Joe Fern said that joy looks like Joe Fern, but I think I'm going to take that one away from you, Joe Fern, because joy definitely looks like nature. He's mad at me. We got one more to go, okay, Joe Fern. So the last one, you're 4-4-4, Finca. Let's see what you can do. Joy feels like.
Happiness.
Ooh, I'm going to have to not look at you, Joe. I take that one. I'll give you 5-5 on that. Congratulations, Finca. You're actually going to go to the bonus round now. You're going to go in the bonus round now. And so let's do this. This is the long form exit, but I want to hear this from you. You know, we talk about the idea of a joy revolution being both internal and external. When it's internal, it's sort of that joy, the revolution of the heart, where you might have felt a lot of crud, but you kind of get rid of it and it's nice and clean. You're feeling joy running through your veins. That's the internal joy revolution. The external joy revolution is you being able to lead masses of people and create social change using joy, joy as like a contagion. So when I ask you what your joy revolution is, which I am right now, what's your joy revolution, Finca?
So my joy revolution is to bring the power of love in business, sales, and marketing, as well as in our homes and in our personal relationships. So the more love we have, the more joy we're going to feel and the better decisions we're going to have and the more consciously we're going to live and the impact that we're going to have. So I think that's important.
So I'm going to tell you whether you got that or not. But before that, I have to tell you, you all, that go to selffromlove.com. That is selffromlove.com. And we're going to see a lot more stuff when it comes to Finca. Finca, I hope you're coming back on the show more because you got the bonus question right, Finca. And so on behalf of Finca and myself and Joe Fern, start your joy revolution. Start your joy revolution in love, in light, in shadows, and enjoy. On behalf of Mark and Joe Fern and Finca, thanks for Finca for coming on. This is Mark saying, go start your joy revolution. See ya. I hope you enjoyed the Golden Mike podcast. There's more good stuff coming your way. But until the next episode, let's stay in touch, yes? Find us on Instagram as TheJoyRev, TheJoyRev. Or communicate with like-minded revolutionaries in our Facebook group. Search The Joy Revolution Underground. And of course, don't forget to check out the classes, articles, blogs, and some serious fun at joyrevolution.com. That's joyrevolution.com. Now, until then, what will you do to change history for the better? Let's go out and play, shall we? Press start to begin.